We continue with our study today on the Lord's Prayer by looking at the fourth petition, which is, Give us, day by day, our daily bread. The essence of this petition focuses on our complete dependence on God to provide daily what we need to live in His kingdom. But first, let's be encouraged by the special musical presentation of Amazing Grace. I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, and there I'm going to read from the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Once again, we'll be reading from Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 4, as we continue with our study on the Lord's Prayer, or as some prefer to call it, the Model Prayer. Our study today brings us to the fourth petition, which is, Give us day by day our daily bread, which is found in verse 3. Now, earlier in this study, I gave you a quote, in essence, which says that the first three of these petitions, and remember there are six in all, the first three ask for the kingdom to come, and the last three are for God to meet the needs of His people, until the kingdom arrives. And there is a lot of truth in this statement. The first petition, Hallowed be your name, the second petition, Your Kingdom Come, and the third petition, Your Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven, all relate in a very prominent way to the kingdom itself. The last three petitions have to do largely with living within the framework of that kingdom until its full and completed arrival. Sometimes we refer to that as the consummation of the kingdom. In past studies, I've emphasized that theologians often speak of the kingdom as possessing two major features. There is what we call the kingdom inaugurated, which means that the kingdom began with Christ in his first advent when he came, and primarily that has to do with his life and ministry, his death and resurrection. But even though the kingdom is a present reality, it has begun, there is still a future aspect of the kingdom, and this is what we call the consummation of the kingdom, when Christ brings it to its full and completed form. Now, until that time, we have very real needs. We have spiritual needs. We also have physical needs. And this is what petitions 4, 5, and 6 are all about. Now, today's focus is on the need of daily bread. And this touches upon our complete dependence on God. And there are three basic points that we're going to examine. First of all, there is the nature of our dependence, and this is seen in the expression, our daily bread. Secondly, there is the focus of our dependence. This is seen in the expression, day by day. And then finally, there is the attitude of our dependence, and this is seen in the expression, give us. Now in Scripture, this is given in reverse form, but I want us to look at it backwards because I think that this will give us a better appreciation and understanding of what is meant by this petition. So with that in mind, read with me from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. By inspiration, we have recorded these words. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We begin by noting, first of all, the nature of our dependence. And again, this is seen in the expression, our daily bread. Now, ultimately, this focuses on our dependence upon God to meet every single need that we have on a daily basis. Speaking of daily bread, one writer says that this refers to the amount of bread necessary to survive for a day. Another writer suggests that this is a call, this is an awareness, to live in constant dependence upon God and His provisions. So what lies at the heart of this is the fact that we are creatures of need. There is no self-sufficiency within us. We are completely dependent upon God. Now, one of the things that sometimes makes this a little difficult is that even though we are dependent upon God, there are numerous things that God requires of us. There are things that we must do. God has called us to action. And so there is a sense of activity that is required on our part quite often. Now, there are some things that God gives directly without any human instrumentality whatsoever. But there are also things that God gives through human effort or human instrumentality. For example, when it comes to growing a crop, the normal course of things involves the fact that God demands that whoever is going to grow a crop, he has to begin like everyone else. He has to have seeds. He has to till the ground. He has to plant it. He has to cultivate it and water it whenever possible. There is effort required. But you see, even in this basic activity, there is constant dependence upon God. We depend upon God to actually provide these seeds, to give us the strength, the health, the wisdom to be able to plant and cultivate the ground. We're dependent upon God for the sunshine and for the rain, and again, the ability to actually harvest. So even in those things that God requires of us, that demands activity, we are still dependent upon God to actually do those things. So whether directly or indirectly, we are dependent upon God for those things that are necessary for us to live. Now, in the ancient Near East, bread was a staple diet. It was something that everyone was very familiar with, and Jesus often used this in spiritual terms to present spiritual realities about himself, about our need, and about God's provisions for us. One writer says that bread became a powerful symbol of God's provision for his people. Now, a part of this, of course, is anchored in the Old Testament, where God provided manna for his Old Testament covenant people. Now, most of you are familiar with the backstory having to do with Israel, who was about to go into the Promised Land, but because of their sin in giving an evil report of the land, that is, the spies that went in, they were going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that unbelieving generation passed from the scene. Well, in their journeys, God would provide for them manna. Apart from once a week, whenever they could gather more than was necessary to live on a daily basis, and this was, of course, just before the Sabbath day, they were required to pick the bread up each morning on a daily basis. Now, early on, there were those that were going to try to hoard this bread and save it, but they came under God's judgment, and the bread itself did not last. So even here, there was an emphasis upon the daily provision for God. Now, trusting God is sometimes very difficult, although it should be easy. But being the creatures that we are, trusting God, giving ourselves over to Him to provide daily, can be sometimes difficult. But yet the nature of faith is to consistently and constantly trust God. Now, this leads us to our second major point, and that is the focus of our dependence. And this is seen in the expression, day by day. This refers to the provisions that we need on a daily basis. Now, I want to read several passages of Scripture here that corresponds with this basic idea. The first is Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Here Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Next, there is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. This is the parable of the rich fool. Beginning with verse 13, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.' Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all these things be for which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And one last passage is Luke chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Now all of these passages relate in some way to trusting God for His provision on a daily basis. It touches upon worry. It touches upon stockpiling for the future. And they focus on priority, and that is seeking the kingdom of God. But one thing that stands out here is the misplaced trust in stockpiling for the future. Now, it is certainly not wrong to make plans for the future, although we must remember that our plans are to be conditioned by faith and ultimately what God brings to pass. That is, we pray, not my will be done, but your will. But the danger is beginning to trust in those things that we have stored up, instead of God who has provided for these things. There is an easy tendency to move away from trusting God to trusting that which we can see. We can see our stockpiles. We can see our inventory. But there is a great danger, there is a great deception here on that basic point. But the reality is that that's not the nature of faith. Faith is believing and trusting in God. When we trust in what we can see, that's no longer faith. But again, there is a very strong sense of deception there, because we are placing our faith in something that we think will be there to help us, to provide for us. And it may, but only because God has willed it. So stockpiling, in and of itself, is not necessarily wrong, but it can be if there is misplaced trust. If we are consumed with worry about what happens each and every day and about our needs being met, then that worry is going to consume us and take us away from that which is most important, and that is seeking first the kingdom of God. In other words, because we are consumed with worry, our actions, our thoughts, our attitudes will greatly hinder our service to Christ. I read a story about an incident that took place shortly after the Korean War, which had to do with many orphans that were found because of the nature and the horrors of war. But these orphans, many of them did not have anyone to look out for them. And so they began to gather them in orphanages to take care of them, to clothe them, and to feed them. But the story goes that even though they had food each day, there was great anxiety at night. They were not able to sleep because they did not know if they would have something to eat for tomorrow. And so it is said that to help some of these orphans, they would place a single piece of bread in their hands. Now, this was not to be eaten as a late-night snack, but it was a token or a symbol of security. It was to remind them that they would have provision for tomorrow. In a lot of ways, this is the way that we are. We are so uncertain about tomorrow that it consumes us with worry. And we have that anxiety. We can't sleep. And so we need something that will give us a sense of security. And to be quite honest, I don't know anything any better than God Himself and what Scripture teaches us about Him, His love for us, His compassion for us, and His ability to provide for us. Now, it is true, God does not always work the way that we think He should work, or the way that we would like for Him to work, or even working on our timetable. But again, that's the nature of faith, of trusting God. So in the same way that these young orphans were comforted, we can be comforted knowing that our needs will be met. So this petition teaches us to come in humble dependence upon God, asking Him to provide for us. Now this brings us to our last point, and that is the attitude of our dependence. This is seen in the expression, give us. Now, the term give is a verb, and it's given in the present tense, which implies continuous action, repeated action. It's given in the imperative, which normally means a command or an exhortation, and it's given in the active voice, which means that we are actively involved in producing this request. We are asking. Now, when we say give us, we are definitely not commanding God to give us bread, but the imperative can also be used as an entreaty. That is a sincere, humble request, a plea, crying out from the heart. And so this is how we should understand this phrase. It is believers crying out humbly in faith and in trust in God, who is the only one that can help us. And so it is a reminder of our constant need. Now I want to close out with reading one last passage, and this comes from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Here, the writer states, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Now there are two things here that the writer is making request of. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. And the next is, give me neither poverty nor riches. Now this is very interesting. He says, feed me with the food allotted to me. And this is very similar to what Jesus teaches here in asking, give us day by day our daily bread. And the reason that he states this, first of all, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Again, here is this element of danger associated with self-sufficiency and not trusting God. But on the other hand, he says, or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So he doesn't pray for wealth that he might have everything that he needs because of the dangers of those things taking our attention, our activity, even our affection away from God and placing it upon things. And also he does not want to be poor, lest trying to feed himself, he takes everything into his own hands and believes that the only way that he can provide is by stealing, and as a result, profane the name of God. You see, a central feature of Christianity, of living the Christian life, of salvation itself, is faith. Not only is there what we call saving faith, coming to Christ in faith and repentance, believing and trusting what the gospel reveals about Christ and the message of hope of eternal life, repenting and believing, but the Bible also teaches us that the just, those that have been justified, will live by faith. So daily we are to live in complete trust upon God to provide for us. Now, a part of that involves bringing our needs before the Lord in humble, authentic prayer, and at the same time, trusting God to meet those needs. Again, in His way and in His time. Because whenever God does that, that helps to strengthen our faith and to constantly remind us that God is a God who is powerful enough to provide for us, and to remind us that He is in control and that we are dependent upon Him. So until the kingdom comes in the fullness of its glory, we pray that the Lord will meet our daily needs so that we can be busy being involved in the work of the kingdom that exists now in its spiritual realities. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.